welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Our ability to connect and expand on topics that mean the most to you while delivering the most cutting-edge dialogue is paramount as the podcast continues to grow in demand. Continue to submit your feedback to us and leave us a review. That is why on today's episode builds upon the foundation of a few previous separate episodes. I highly suggest you check out Episode 10, Developing the Future Today, Episode 14, The Future of Transportation in a World of Agile Sustainment, and especially Episode 12, Next Gen Autonomous Transportation. We have heard from Mr. Donald Overton and Mr. Hector Vasquez from the Transportation Requirements Development Branch how technology is evolving and affecting the future battlefield, especially with the new autonomous capabilities. This brings us to our returning guest for today, Colonel William Arnold, the current Chief of Transportation, who is back with us to expand on the developments and integration of autonomous capabilities into the Transportation Corps. Colonel William Arnold serves as the 34th Chief of Transportation. He's a native of Wharton, Texas, and graduated from Texas A&M University in 1997 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Construction Science and was commissioned to the Transportation Corps. He holds a Master of Science in Transportation and Logistics Management from American Military University and a Master of Strategic Studies from the U.S. Army War College. Colonel Arnold's operational command assignments include the 251st Cargo Transfer Company of the 21st Theater Support Command from 2004 to 2005, Commander of the 3rd Brigade Support Battalion, 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division from 2015 to 2017, and Commander of the 596th Transportation Brigade Service Deployment and Distribution Command from 2020 to 2022. He's held a variety of other positions during his 28 years of experience that has sharpened his logistical skills. I'm thrilled to have you back on the show again today, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Garrett. Thanks for having me back. It was really good to be able to do our first podcast to talk about where the Transportation Corps is going. And today's topic, autonomy, is really, really important, especially with the Army senior leaders giving us guidance out to the field and out to the .mil PF integration force as branch proponents on how we achieve human-machine integration. And so this topic is very, very high on our Army senior leaders' minds. And I'm glad to talk about it today, especially since transportation is going to be the first to deliver autonomy on the ground. It was in the ground forces.
Exactly. Once again, transportation is leading the way, not only the spearhead of logistics, but it's not just spearhead of everything for the Army. And as we alluded to at the beginning, we have built off and started talking about this topic on a few different episodes. We've highlighted it a little bit from your first episode on the future of transportation in the world of agile sustainment. But now it's an opportunity we can really dive into how it's being applied and what the future looks like. So the first thing I kind of wanted to get into is some question might be on the minds of our listeners is why is there a need for autonomous capabilities within the Transportation Corps?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And really, it's the nexus around developing this type of technology, or actually not developing it, but taking advantage of this technology that's being developed by industry today. And if you look at, you know, the current battlefield and the current wars ongoing with Ukraine and Russia and some of the other activities in CENTCOM, AOR, and you start to understand that the character of war is going to change just because the pace, the operating environment is going to have much different threats. And then the distances within some of our theaters are going to be so grand. The use of autonomy and the capability that autonomy brings is going to be vital to our future success. Many times we're going to be able to use autonomy to do things like the dull, the dangerous, and the dirty. Things that we maybe want to preserve our people capital to do things that only our people can do. And that's really to be able to make decisions, to be able to mission command capabilities and formations, to be able to conduct command and control, not only of our own formations, but of the autonomous capabilities out there, and to be able to execute things with judgment. And so by preserving our people for the most unique task and allowing autonomy to do some of the things that only autonomy can do, for example, I've heard many senior leaders say hey, let's use autonomy to draw first blood. Well, if we're going to do that, we probably need to use autonomy to conduct resupply on the forward edge of the battlefield just to mitigate those threats and the pace and the distances of the operations. And so that's really the nexus of where we're going with autonomy, not only in the TC Corps, but with an army. It's really that human-machine integration.
I like how you brought up how when the future battlefield is changing, and we're seeing it in real time right now between Russia and Ukraine, this scene, way some of the autonomy and drone warfare has been utilized out there. And it's just been a unique thing to see just how this is going to have a huge impact. Kind of talk to it. It takes the human element out of it, provides so we can get them, as you said, first blood, protect the people, well as be able to utilize this technology to do missions where maybe the human element's not able to conduct it, protecting them, but we can be able to still achieve that mission. So as this technology is being developed, what kind of current equipment is it being looked at right now?
From a transportation perspective, even from an Army perspective, we're looking at autonomous capabilities across all domains, right? And that's really over the ground, in the air, and over the surface water within the sea. Unmanned aerial systems have always been around for a while, right? So we really had the autonomous capabilities with UAS and other type of capabilities that is out there. So that is just continuing to mature on and how we use those capabilities within the sustainment community and the transportation core. One of the new technologies we're bringing forth is how do we use drones to carry cargo and sustainment forward on the battlefield. So the JTARS, for example, is a capability that we're bringing forward to our TIC formations here over the next year. And putting them inside the brigades. It's the Joint Tactical Autonomous Aerial Resupply System. And it's got the ability to do squad-level resupply forward on the battlefield. Those critical capabilities, if I need to deliver ammo or some capability to a squad in need, I could put this JTARS to use and deliver that cargo in multiple turns and save from having to go ground or any other means. And additionally, working with our cross-functional team, we're looking at, you know, maybe we can go a little bit bigger with that type of aerial capabilities with a heavier cargo drone and maybe looking at what industry can do and being able to use a cargo sized drone to maybe pick up a container or, you know, more than 1,000 pounds or up to 2,000 to 3,000 pounds, for example. So we're really trying to challenge industry to see what they can deliver. On the ground side, as I said in the opening, you know, the TC Corps will be the first to deliver ground autonomy over the next 20 months or some change with the autonomous transport vehicle, the ATVS. And really what that is it's the autonomy stack that's going to go on our A2 model PLSs. These new PLSs are going to have bi-wire active safety that really makes that vehicle have a digital backbone so that this autonomous stack can then go in and plug into and allow that vehicle to operate without being manned. And so that'll go into our composite truck companies. And then as we look into the future vehicles like CTT, you know, the goal is to have them autonomous ready so we can use that same stack. So we're really leading the way on getting the ground autonomy in that stack going that can be applied to any vehicle and any capabilities as long as it's autonomous ready. And then additionally, you know, on the water side for our watercraft, our cross-functional team is looking at autonomous resupply vessels and how can we use small autonomous watercraft to carry 2 to 3 containers worth of stuff to be able to deliver in unique situations as we described up front. So those technologies collectively in all domains is some of the technology that we're bringing forward in the Transportation Corps and really leading the way for the Army, if you will.
So we start with, and I'll kind of go through some of the things you just talked about. The first is with the utilizing drones to conduct deliveries. Would that be something where, I don't know, truck companies or different companies would start to see that integrated for part of their distribution operations then?
Sure. It'll be an additive technology. And if you think about over the last 20 years, where in many of our formations, to include our truck companies, where we used Ravens to go out and be able to do aerial reconnaissance, right? That's a small drone capabilities, if you will, to be able to do that. This JTARS capability is going to be able to be operated by our 88 series, for example, and our distribution elements. So we'll teach them how to operate these drones. We'll be able to develop some master trainers across the brigades, and then they'll be able to implement it when the time is needed. So all of this is about human-machine integration and giving the commanders options based off of the conditions in the operating environment.
Okay. And we've already talked about the ATVS systems. Go back to some of the other episodes. We talked about how that is being applied, seeing that the way it's being developed, and especially how the feedback is so important for this technology from the force itself. So as formations out there, as you start to see this stuff integrated into your units, make sure you continue to provide that feedback, because that's how we can continue to improve upon these designs right now. Looking at another part, is this more the watercraft? How do you see more, like, can you talk more on that as well?
Yeah, so it's really a two-prong approach that I'm working with the capabilities developers and the CFT. Number one, as I talked about, is the autonomous resupply vessel. Sorry about that, autonomous resupply vessel. And so that's a purposely built watercraft that's unmanned, that has the ability to deliver cargo forward, especially in a high threat scenario where we can get supplies to the shore, and then using the proper ship to shore or vessel to shore connector. That's where the cargo UAS will come into play, where it can come out and grab that container, if you will, off of that autonomous vessel as a concept and bring it forward to the shore, or some other means to be able to get that container offloaded to the shore. And so looking at that capabilities. And then we're also looking at, if there are capabilities similar to what we're doing on the vehicle side, where we find somebody that's got an autonomous stack out there and we're able to put it on our government-owned watercraft and be able to help that human-machine integration and being able to allow some of those tasks that we do on the vessels from our skippers, for example, to be relieved, and then they can best use their manpower for other areas. Or even if we can maybe make our vessels autonomous in and of themselves, where we can deliver them forward on the battlefield without having to put personnel on those watercraft. That capability exists in industry. There's many capabilities in Europe, for example. They run ring routes in the European area with ferries, for example. I've seen tugs operate autonomously. And so that capability is there. We're just trying to see what we can capitalize given our mission set, and our core functions.
That's how we can always go back to industry and seeing the way it's being done already out in the civilian world and how we can apply it to our operations. So, and I think that's a good way for us to continue to go forward with, is just seeing how our partners are doing it right now, so we can take that existing technology and be able to adapt it to us. But say I know I'm just a soldier, I'm listening to this right now, especially, you know, one of the 88 series or maybe one of the 88 mics, and I'm thinking, I'm hearing all this, I'm like, is my job going away? Am I going to be obsolete now? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I think I hear that all the time. And so for the listeners out there from a transportation CMF function, if you will, no MOSs are planned to go away with this capabilities. And actually, the chief of staff of the Army has made it clear, we're not trying to get rid of MOSs or people. We're trying to bring technology and integrate them with our people and into the mission. And so that's been the focus with JTARS. That's been the focus with ATVS, is bringing that capabilities forward so that we can integrate into our operations and into our organizations. And it gives commanders options. I can drive all vehicles manned, or I can have some of them operate autonomously. Or in the future, we can have things like the MMET holistically operate autonomously. So for our MOSs, however, we're going to have new skills that we have to train. We're going to have to teach folks the theories of autonomy. We're going to have to teach our NCOs how to employ and how to plan integration of autonomy into our organizations, into our formations. Already talked a little bit about upfront, you know, the master trainer aspect of it for our UAS. That's already being implemented down at the Maneuver Center of Excellence, where they're housed, the UAS Center of Excellence. So we'll have to bring that into our sustainment and transportation schools as well. And so it's not really about losing any of our MOSs or any of our people. It's teaching them new skills and teaching them new requirements that they're going to have to execute on the battlefield, whether it's command and controlling autonomous capabilities, or having, you know, the ability to be, you know, one controller to many types of autonomous capabilities, and then also integrating those different domains into one single logistics network, if you will, to ensure continuous movement of supplies forward. So that's really where I am focused on what we're going to have to change for our MOSs.
Well, I just want to really thank you right there, sir, for kind of clearing the air on that, because I know there's a lot of misconceptions out there. People are hearing all this about autonomy and they're fearing like, well, that's it. My MOS is gone. But thank you very much for providing that clarity for everybody, and especially for highlighting how this is going to provide opportunities for them to really sharpen their craft and be able to learn new skills. Is going to make them more lethal on the battlefield, as well as more, you know, unique skills that they can then apply on the civilian side as well. So I think that's an awesome opportunities for these series, these different MLS series. They're going to be getting this, these new training that are going to be offered to them. So now we talked a little bit about some of the ways this is revolutionizing distribution operations. Talked about the JTARs out there. How else can you see this revolutionizing how we do distribution?
Yeah, so I think, you know, to tie into how I opened up the front of it on, you know, the purpose of autonomy in all the domains that I talked about. And I've said this before. I think I said it a little bit on the last podcast, and folks have heard me say this. If you think about, you know, where we came from a transportation core, we predominantly coming over the years been, you know, focused and revolved around the truck, right? And so as the truck came into the Army in 1915, you know, it started revolutionizing the way we execute military operations. And we were able to carry more farther. And if you look at the Red Ball Express, for example, as we made the D-Day landing, and the ability of setting up that capabilities, and really when, you know, in 1942, when the TC Corps was born, it was born out of that necessity where the commanding general saw a need for a focused corps to come in and set up a logistics network and a distribution network that was able to keep pace with the war fight. And so that's what the truck and that's what the Red Ball Express did for us. It allowed us to carry over 70 million tons of supplies just in that one operation to allow those warfighters to go farther, to go faster. And it gets after things like endurance and operational reach, and allows those commanders to really focus forward and not have to worry about where their sustainment is. And as you look at the evolving operating environment, you're going to understand where that threat, that pace is going to require a new revolution, and that's where I think autonomy is going to play its role to be able to provide even extended reach to what we've currently have, to be able to ensure that endurance that the commanders need, and to be able to provide that flexibility in that distribution network that's going to be in somewhat perpetual motion, because we're not going to be able to have static nodes. We're going to always have to be moving. And so it will allow us to do many, many things, I think, going forward, whether it's from deception or going with an ant trail type distribution or whatever the case may be. It's going to be a game changer. And I think it's going to be really, really important as we bring this together over the next few years. Over.
And that was a good way to put it at the beginning, is like how we saw with the truck, how that completely changed warfare, especially in the way we were able to support the warfighter. And I think this is just going to be that next chapter on the impact it's going to have, but that next chapter in technology advancement on changing how we do fight. It's really going to extend our operational reach much further than what the truck was, especially when you add into the use of drones. And go back to our beginning of the conversation, talked about that support that squad, just a small distribution right there directly to them. And we are going to have to be continuously be mobile. We can't have that giant fob anymore like we got accustomed to the last 20 years.
It is. And we're going to be reaching out to some of our experts in the field, right? Many of you listening, you're probably going to get asked, hey, help us think through this, right? Because I don't have all the answers, and we don't have all the answers because this is emerging fast. But we know we have to integrate it, and we know we gotta change our TTPs, right? So we'll be kind of learning this together.
So you see, there's gonna be some impact. Of course, there's always impacts to when you have new technology come into play. Any Like, we talked a lot about it so far, but any negative impacts do you see?
I don't think I wouldn't call anything a negative impact. Really, what we got to make sure we're honed in on as we bring this technology together is also making sure that our C2 systems and our command and control technology and our ability to see things on the battlefield and integrate them in time and space, our common operating picture and our decision support tools, we got to modernize those as well, because they got to be able to help keep pace of all these different things on the battlefield and moving across that network I described. And then how do we dynamically see them and task them to achieve the sustainment mission that we have, no matter where they are on the battlefield, I think is going to be critical important. So I don't see it as a negative. It's just another area we got to add to and shore up from a sustainment enterprise business systems, if you will, or tactical communication systems, and making sure all that allows us to execute this to the efficiency and effectiveness that we need.
And that's going to come a lot from the feedback from the field, getting an understanding from, like, hey, this is what's working or not. Hey, this system's not integrating with it right now, as you alluded to. So, like, we can do all this development up here, but down there where the rubber meets the road, that's where they're actually testing this equipment out, seeing it in live action. So
that's exactly right. I mean, the JTARS, right? We're going to put it into the tick formation so they can play with it and experiment it. We learn from it. And then as we bring that capabilities forward, we can adjust what it needs to do based off of that feedback. The MMET, the autonomous trailer, is going to be the same way. We're going to put that into brigade formations, let them experiment, play with it, so we can get learning demand so that we can go out and get the right system that we need for the future fight. And even with ATVS, right, when we fill that to the first unit, it's going to be fielded underneath a testing type scenario where that software is going to mature over time, and we're going to get learning demands, and we're going to grow the ability to conduct autonomous our resupply on the battlefield, and even going to the next level of how do we use other robotics to do other things, like de-rig the flat rack once we drop it, right? And then the stuff can get offloaded, right? Because you got to strap it down, but how do you de-rig it on the other end? Or how do we use robots to take an arm and refuel a vehicle without a person having to be there, right? So that's the next levels that we're really getting to in the future as we continue to develop these capabilities.
So what would you give, what advice would you have for soldiers, you know, when they start to receive this?
You know, if I was hearing this podcast and I was thinking about this, the first thing I would do is, and my recommendation to those listeners that are out there, is start to read what's happening out there in industry. Start to understand what this technology can do for us. We're trying to get information out there as fast as we can, hence why we're doing this podcast. We've even started to introduce it into PME for our NCOs, because it's that important. We don't have the equipment finalized yet, but we got to start talking about, here's what it looks like, here's how we employ it. We got to understand the risk, the safety, and all those type of things, because it's going to be new and we got to get comfortable with it. So it really goes back to what I said on the first podcast, study, self-study, self-development in this area. You really have to understand and continue to understand the evolving operating environment. Right. Understanding what the environment looks like in Indo-PACOM versus what the environment looks like in UCOM, for example. You have to understand what that environment looks like. And then how do we see ourselves operating in that environment as that threat changes, as the pace changes, as the requirements change? We got to be able to kind of be agile on our feet and use the doctrine as a foundation, but be able to think through the problem at hand. From autonomy, you know, I talked about, you know, how would you integrate this into your operations now if you had that capability? Just think through that, because you can start to provide feedback back, right? What risks are out there? What's the safety concerns? And then we got to change how we're going to license to this capabilities, right? Because we're going to have new master trainers for this capabilities. And then how do we license differently for sure? And so, you know, a lot of things are going to change, and we got to be adaptive and receptive to that change. And so, the more you can self-study, I think the more prepared and the more comfortable you'll be.
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head with that one, sir. Because you don't even have to have the equipment right now, but you can prepare yourself right now to see, okay, this is how it's working, or this is maybe in theory how we could do it. Start wargaming that now at your unit. It's a simple, hey, let's just get lunch. Let's do like a quick LPD door and lunch. Let's just say, if we had this technology today, how would we implement it? And start working through that. And then provide that feedback up. You know, just if you're having thoughts or different ideas as you're going through your wargaming, provide that feedback up through the channels. Here to the transportation school, you can reach out. We talked about previously to the transportation requirements development branch for that team there. They're always looking, Mr. Vasquez, Mr. Overton are always looking for feedback on how can they better develop this technology. And I think just overall, like if you see, and once this stuff does start coming, write about it, you know, reach out, like get this stuff published so we can continue to have this professional discourse on see what's working, what's not working. Because one bigger army might say, hey, this is a great thing to do, but if there's like a break in the chain somewhere, let's get that information up so we can get it fixed. And we're only going to know that by having that feedback.
That's right.
So one of the things, before we kind of fully close out, is there anything else on the in the realm of autonomy that you really want to highlight to our listeners?
I don't think there's anything that I've left out. I think, you know, I would leave you with this. It's coming. It's coming fast, especially for our vehicles into the PLS. UAS is already there. JTARS is already coming fast as well. We're working really heavily on the autonomous, you know, resupply vessel and what we can do on the watercraft side. And so, you know, as we do that, just be prepared to give the feedback, like Captain Paul said, right? Really, really important. And be prepared to embrace it because this is what we're trying to get after, you know, with the Army Senior Leader's guidance is human-machine integration and really using that capabilities to get after the critical task and understanding the future operating environment.
You provide some amazing insight and wisdom to our audiences on the last episode. Do you have any additional advice you'd like to provide to the SAMA community?
I hear, you know, we're integrated with our other logisticians as well, not just the TC on most of these initiatives that I talked about. I'm always synchronizing with the ordnance school, with my counterpart there in the quartermaster school as well, because it does have implications to understand how do we maintain this, how do we sustain this type of technology going forward and really collectively understanding that, right? So that's really, really critical. So if you're not a transporter, you know, same thoughts apply to all our sustainers out there for sure. And it's going to be important capabilities on how do we bring all this technology to bear on the battlefield.
And that's the perfect point to end on, sir, is this is not just existing in the Transportation Corps right now. This is across the Army. And that's why it's so important to familiarize yourself with what's happening in the different branches, reading articles from different branches, like what's at the forefront of them, getting into the line departure websites. You can see what's the hot topic for infantry right now or for armor or for fires, like what's happening there. So you can be an overall well-rounded leader in your formation. So you have that knowledge that, hey, this is what's happening over there. Because what's happening in one branch is going to affect you one way or another, especially as a sustainer. It doesn't matter what type of sustainer you are, anywhere from a logistician of a transporter, quartermaster, ordnance, to someone who works with AG or finance. It doesn't matter. It's going to affect you one way or another. So continue to inform yourself, read different articles, listen to different official Army podcasts like this one, so that you can continue to increase your knowledge so that when whatever technology hits your formation, you're ready for it.
That's right.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I'm really glad to be able to have you back on, sir. Once again, where can people find you if they have additional follow-up questions?
So I think the best way is if you go into the Transportation School website underneath the CASCOM website and find our Office of the Chief of Transportation. We got email links there. We got the ability to get a hold of me there. Or you can just look me up on the global, you know, william.c.arnold26, right? And you can get us some information between me, Command Sergeant Major Hood or CW5 Throm or any of my folks, you know, reach out and even if you want us to kind of get some folks out there to do LPDs, reach out to us. We can communicate this as broad and as deep as we can.
Well, thank you, sir. You heard from him. Reach out to the team here. They're going to help you out, especially as this stuff starts to hit your formations. Continue to seek that information and provide that feedback. But definitely want to thank you for taking the time to come in today, sir. Provide our listeners with more insights on how the Transportation Corps is truly integrating autonomous capabilities into the force. This is a whole new horizon we're embarking on, and it's going to be very interesting to see how we continue to adapt to these new advancements. I look forward to our other episodes ahead when we kind of get more into the new watercraft modernization strategy as well as the common tactical truck.
Hey, Kenpa, I appreciate the opportunity again. We do have some topics for the listeners out there coming up. But if you have anything you want to hear about, you know, reach back to Captain Powell, right? And we'll put a topic together and we'll talk about it so that we can continue to inform our sustainers out there. So appreciate the opportunity. Thanks again and spearhead.
Thank you very much, sir. That is all we have today, folks. Just continue to be on lookout for all those episodes I mentioned and many more coming out throughout the fall season. As always, Sustainment Leaders Start Here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment Leaders Start Here.